together, which we never do.
We are. Right, exactly.
To prove it.
Judy's heading off to Arizona for the winter, and a lot of you probably don't even realize that many of our wintertime shows, Judy's
all off, of our wintertime shows this
well,
time.
Sometimes you come back for a weekend or something like that, but Judy is operating from what we like to call the WGN West studio.
That's right.
Which is her kitchen in Arizona.
And I've got signs all over the house. Do not let the phone, take the phone off the hook.
Right.
And, you know, because we still have a landline out there because of an alarm system that can't work without. That's the thing I don't understand.
What's that?
With houses, do you have a landline now? You don't, do you?
I do, actually, because Comcast offered me that for nothing extra for 2 years or something.
Uh-huh.
So that they could give me bad service in more areas. In every possible arena.
They're going to punish you for saying that as if it isn't punitive enough.
Yes, yeah. So, yeah, I do have a landline. I had one in the country because of the alarm system out there, and I maintain it in the country because of the alarm system out there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So we promote something for this week. And it was this story I read in the Wall Street Journal. And it said, I thought, an astonishingly weird thing, which is this. When you're at the beginning of a relationship and someone gives you what you consider an inappropriate kind of present.
Okay, so this is the humidifier. You've been dating for 3 months. Here's Christmas. And you get a humidifier.
What happens? Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
And I had the opposite experience, which I'll tell you in a second.
Okay.
But what happens is women, if they get a humidifier, are not going to blow off the relationship just based on that. But that men who I've always characterized as less sensitive about presents.
Right.
Men are more likely to drop the relationship.
Really?
This is in the beginning.
This is early on. This is not a marital relationship.
No, right. This is like dating.
Okay.
And I was thinking about it because I had had the opposite experience of having received, after dating a guy for about 6 weeks, a Movado watch.
Oh, my gosh. Did it fall off the back of a truck?
No. And I was so embarrassed by it because, like, a watch is what you might get somebody before you get engaged, you know, at least in the old-fashioned days. And it's a classy, sporty,
expensive
watch. And I thought, this isn't going to go anywhere.
What did you say? How do you respond then?
Oh, my God.
Oh, Franco. Wow.
And I remember I didn't wear it except if I was going to see him.
Do you recall what you got him? Or was that a birthday present or a holiday present?
It was a non-occasion
present. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What would I have gotten him if it was at that juncture in our relationship was exactly what I got him? Nothing.
Hmm. So how much longer did you date him, and did you feel compelled to return the Movado watch?
Oh, I never No, I dated him about 3 months.
Okay.
Would you have returned the watch?
Probably not, but it wasn't an issue. I mean,
it wasn't
it's not
issue.
In my... Right, I mean, it's not in my experience to have received. So it's hard for me to say what I would or wouldn't have done. I have a question, because this is so... era specific. When you said you were dating, and I'm doing air quotes, you were dating for 6 weeks at the time. And this would have been in the 60s.
Are you going to ask me if I was sleeping with him?
Yes.
I think I was dating him for 6 weeks pretty much explains what I was doing with him. Don't you?
No.
Have you ever gone out with somebody for 6 weeks and not slept with them?
Yeah. Yes.
In your grown-up life? Or I don't mean high school dating.
Well, I That then? This was in the 50s and 60s?
Oh, this was as I was in my 40s.
Oh, I thought you were young. This is between marriages.
I was once young, you know.
As was I. Although we had our photos taken last week.
And there'd be no way you could
prove
that.
Big reminder that we are no longer. Right. Anyway.
We have the last photo that's ever been taken.
Okay, so the time frame is you're a woman in your 40s.
Right.
And you're
like you're a divorcee.
Dating, right. Yeah, dating somebody for 6 weeks.
You are so busy
with the air
quotes.
Right. Okay, so you were dating this guy and sleeping with this guy for a while, and then he gave you a Movado watch.
Uh-huh.
So did he have greater expectations of where the relationship was going than you did?
I think so.
Yeah.
I knew it was going nowhere even before the Movado watch,
okay.
But he was a lot of fun.
Okay.
Okay. But
G.I.B.?
G.I.B. 3129.
No!
What?
Good in bed.
Oh,
whatever.
Fine.
Okay.
Fine enough.
312-981-7200. Hi, Chris.
Hey, girls. How are you?
All right.
Good.
Thanks. What's your sense of gift giving in a relationship?
Five years ago, I gave my boyfriend at the time, we were dating for maybe 4 weeks or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I got him a $500 surround sound system. And
wait a minute, Chris, were you in the business, or did you go to Best Buy and get this, or was that your business?
I went to a big box store and got it.
Okay. Okay.
And so I like to give a good gift, you know, like I appreciate this person, and I was hoping things were going to go further. So I got him a surround sound system, and what I got in return was a DVD.
All right, so there's some messages going there that are sort of missing each other in the atmosphere. And what happened?
Well, about 3 years later, I married him. So.
Wow. So how did he, when you opened your DVD, what's your response? Has he opened his surround sound system yet?
It's theirs.
No, then.
Surround sound system first, yeah.
And his response was what?
Like wide-eyed, like, oh my gosh. And he kind of gave me a look like, did you really buy me this as our first gift?
Now, was it a Christmas time thing or was it a no occasion thing?
It was a Christmas.
Oh, it was. Was the DVD like a box set at least?
No, it was a Power Rangers DVD because I'm kind of a nerd like that.
And you opened it up and said, oh.
Oh, I love it. Thank you.
Okay, and now you're married.
And now we're married, yeah.
How long?
Over a year now.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So are your gifts, is there more parity in your gifts?
We don't even buy our wrapping presents anymore. We just go to, like, your Amazon, like, oh, I want that, or I want that. We don't really do that big exchange. Maybe because I just, you know, I blew the lid off too early, I think.
All right. Well, you're fully a married couple then.
Yeah.
Okay. Chris, okay. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, girl. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. We'll be back to more of your calls and texts at 312-981-7200. Look at me. I don't know.
To music, neither of us understand, but
it's
engine
pretty.
Master Bob Ferguson does.
Bob, what is that? Oh, Mike did it. Hey, Mike.
Oh, Mike.
What's that music?
This is Kanye West.
Okay. The future president, Kanye West, and father of North and Saint. Right. All right. Back to
I
you.
I bet that ticked people off.
What, Saint?
Yes. It ticked me off, and I'm not even Catholic.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like
Saint West. No,
it's not your. Yeah. It's not your baby.
It diminishes real saints. So anyway, we're going.
All right.
To talk
so we were talking about gift giving, and early on in a relationship, is there parity in gift giving? And Judy cited a gift that she received from someone she had been dating only 6 weeks.
And my, Kathy had to know.
Well, my assumption was this was when you were a young person, when you were in your, you know, 20s. And it turned out that it wasn't. It was between, it was, you were middle-aged at the time. So my assumption was, I didn't know. Yeah, were you sleeping with him or not?
And my answer had been, it was 6 weeks. What do you think?
Right.
And here is our Ruth.
Hi, Ruth.
To tell us you are quite a bit more stringent about that than I.
Hi, Ruth.
Well, I'm so glad to hear you guys back on the air.
Thank you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. So
I'm
what's
so
your
glad
deal?
To hear Kathy and Judy. And I received a gift of, you know, I received a gift of, like $100 when I was only dating a guy for like 6 months.
He gave you cash?
And, well, it was a $100 gift.
Oh, okay.
Certificate.
Uh-huh.
And that was, I'm about your age. I'm 65. And I just think that most of the time nowadays you don't get gifts like that anymore. That was like 25 years ago. And, I haven't gotten.
You told Mike that you wait a year to sleep with someone. Is that still something that comes up from time to time now?
I haven't slept with anybody since 1989.
Oh, my God. You know what you need for Christmas? It sounds like this.
And that was on purpose. I haven't had a date since 1999, and I haven't slept with anybody since 1989. So,
well, wait a minute.
That
was that's on a
purpose. I'm not that ugly. People look at me, and I'm 65, and people say, "My God, you don't even look like you're 45."
Ruth,
I'm not ugly.
That's a 10-year time frame. In that 10-year time frame between 89 and 99, 89 being the last time you had sex with someone, and 99 being the last time you dated, were there opportunities?
Yes, there were. I went to dating services. I dated, and I went to all these, you know, dating services.
Right.
I just gave up after 1999 with a creepy guy that didn't even want to have sex with me after dating me for like a year.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's sort of a giveaway. Yeah. That's a giveaway. But that was your rule that you generally would not become intimate with somebody until a year had passed?
Well, it was my rule that I just didn't want to have sex, irresponsibly when I was dating all these creepy guys. I mean, really creepy, creepy.
Oh, well, I mean, I see it with
creepy guys.
Right. I see it with creepy, but I hope you didn't date a creepy guy for a year.
Yes, I did.
Oh, Ruth.
Oh, Ruth.
Wow.
Go to the movies.
How come?
Alone.
Not a creepy guy, but a guy who didn't want to, he didn't even want to kiss me till like a year after I dated him.
How gay was he, Ruth?
Pardon?
How gay was he?
He wasn't even freaking gay.
How do you know?
Now we're getting down to it.
He was a creep, but he wasn't even freaking gay. And there's so many creepy guys out there. I don't care whether they're whatever. It's scary how creepy they are.
Okay.
And I went to your dating service, and it was $3,500.
Wasted. You could have bought 1,000 years worth of batteries for that, Ruth.
Yes, I could.
Okay. Do you have any battery-operated devices at this?
And Judy back on the air. Oh, I don't care about the men, but at least I get to hear Kathy and Judy.
Okay, well.
I don't know that that's a fair return.
No, I don't either.
But Ruth, thank you for the call. We really
thanks for calling, and Merry Christmas to you. This is Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
Oh, hi there. I'm loving your show today. That lady was a hoot. She needs a bob.
She needs a what?
A bob. Battery-operated boyfriend.
Oh, right. Yeah, I've never heard that, but I'm with you. Right.
But I want to tell you, when I was a teenager, I was dating a boy. He was a very nice guy. His name was Ed. I won't say his last name. But, you know, it was high school.
Right.
He
yeah.
gave me for Christmas a bottle of real Chanel number 5 perfume.
Uh-huh.
And we were teenagers.
And that at the time was
with it.
That was probably a $20 bottle of perfume.
No, it was a really, it was big. It was expensive. I know it was because.
Do you think he was re-gifting you from his mother? Like she didn't like it?
I don't know.
What did you say?
I you know, I acted grateful, but I took it home and I thought, what the heck? So I just kept it on my dresser for a long time. Then I gave it to my older sister, who was 8 years older than I was. So,
do you still stay in touch with Ed?
No. Ed is long gone.
Long gone as a boyfriend or long gone as in life?
Long gone as in life.
Sorry. Okay.
I moved on and I married a Bob. So, I mean, real Bob.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I didn't know you could marry those.
But I have
two drones
Bob
were in the wedding party. She married a vibrator.
Thank you, Kathy, and Merry Christmas to you, whatever you get.
Thank you, girls. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane.
Yes, indeed. Now, as we sometimes used to do on Thursdays, when Sex Thursday was a regular feature on the show, we used to say this may be a good time to either send the kids out of the room or perhaps just turn down the volume while we're talking about this topic that's coming up. I have a friend.
I'm excited. What is it?
Well, I have a friend who recently posted a picture of a 9-year-old child on the lap of Santa. And I sent her a note. I said, does X still believe in Santa? So now, again, you may not want kids around, little ones, while we're talking about this. And she wrote back and said, yeah, I really think he does, although he's starting to ask questions. And I remembered that years ago we talked about this particular thing, and I think what we came up with was that pure belief generally lasts to about 6. And after that, questions begin appearing, and then it's up to you to decide how you want to respond to those questions.
We're probably supposed to say, what do
you think? Well, my story was, when my kids were growing up, we didn't have a lot of money, but my sister did. My sister Mary did, and Mary used to give my kids the best presents at Christmas. Oh, my gosh. In their view, in my view, a 200-piece set of a farm kit wasn't a great present, but the kids loved it. So one night, I was in the bathtub, and Pat, then 5 or 6, walked in and said, Mom, is Santa real? And I said, well, what do you think? And he said, I don't know. I said, well, who do you think brings all those presents to all those kids on Christmas? And he said, Aunt Mary? That made perfect sense to him. And I would be interested. I know that we have talked to people. And jump in, 312-981-7200, phone or text. And maybe you don't want the kids listening to this particular conversation. People who have believed that their children believed till they were well into puberty.
See, I definitely, my response when you told me that is that it's, that kid is conning his
mother. Oh, no kidding. No, unless this child is homeschooled in a closet.
Exactly.
And never has access to any general information in the world. I think the cutoff is about 6 or 7. What do you think?
Well, when did you stop?
I don't recall that I ever did. I don't think that it was ever a big thing in our family. I mean, we knew about the figure, but I don't recall ever having a moment of clarity or revelation.
Yeah, it was 5 and 6 for me.
Exactly.
Between 5 and 6,
right.
I think.
So, 312-981-7200, this is Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
Hello.
Hi. What's your sense on this?
Well, when our kids were young, they're in their late 20s, mid-20s right now, and they're 7, 6 years old, and they questioned whether there was a Santa. And my response was, well, you do get presents, don't you? And they go, yeah. And then I just said, there must be some sort of a Santa, right? And I think they figured it out on their own, but every year they would just say, thanks, Santa, and sort of look at us with a smirk on their face. But it was just fun for us.
It was fun for you. I mean, I think at some level there is an adult joy in perpetuating that. But I just, I mean, when Pat asked me that night, and he thought that it might have been Aunt Mary, I just said, wouldn't it be hard for one person to go to every kid's house? And he figured it out and said, yeah. And I think I said moms, and I said it's mostly moms and dads that do that. And I think he didn't seem scarred by that. It didn't seem troublesome to him. I think the only thing I said at that point was,
don't call Kyle.
Don't tell Kyle. Yeah, don't tell Kyle. Let Kyle believe for a little while. So I think older kids that know, there's a certain fun in it for them to help perpetuate it for littler kids.
I believe I ran into my little brother's room and said, there's no Santa. Mom just told me.
All right. Just again, a little disclaimer here. Thank you, Jeff. To those of you who may be listening with kids, this is maybe a conversation that you want to not have them hear. This is Barbara. Hey, Barbara.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to Kathy and Judy. What's up?
I just want to tell you, first of all, you guys are wonderful.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
And I think that my sister was always telling me to listen to Kathy and Judy all the time.
Did she tell you to turn off your radio when you got on the phone with us?
No. Should I turn it up?
Yes, you should, Barbara.
No, not up. Off.
Hold on. Off.
Hold on.
Okay, Barbara. Barbara. Okay, Barbara. Hey, Barbara, where's your phone? How far away from the phone is your radio? Barbara? Hey, Barbara?
Okay, I'm here.
Okay, all right. So tell us your situation.
Well, that's a pretty broad statement.
Your Santa Claus situation. The other situation, we'll just guess around it. Yes.
Okay. My situation was my kids were younger. They're in their 30s now.
Uh-huh.
But I'd always say, only to believe or to receive, you must believe.
To what age was that the rule?
Ooh. Older.
Well, sure. They wanted to see.
So they were faking it. There was a point where they were faking it, right?
Well, they didn't know for sure.
Well, okay, so were they pretty bright kids, Barbara?
They must have been.
Well, I mean, now they were there, but I mean,
in their 30s. Uh-huh.
Did you cut them off? I mean, if they said, look, I know everybody in the 12th grade has told me that... That
this may be a myth.
No
right.
guy.
Right.
And
well,
so.
Not the 12th grade. I mean, that's a little older.
But did you cut them off from presents?
Never.
Oh.
Okay. All right. Okay. Barbara, thank you for the call. And this is Jackie, who's sort of in the same place. Jackie?
Hi.
Hi.
We told the kids that once you stop believing, you stop getting presents. And, they faced it until high school, senior year. And then they went away to college, and they just expected their presents to be from the parents as good as Santa's.
Why did you say that? Why?
Right. What would be the point of that?
Well, because when they asked, is there such a thing as Santa, I just thought, well, what do you believe? And they looked at me with the, deer in headlights, and I said, if you believe in Santa, Santa will bring you presents. If you don't believe in Santa, then you just get presents from mom and dad, which are, very limited. And that's it. And they said, we believe. So,
but our mouths are open. They're on the desk.
Their belief was not genuine.
Correct. It was that they wanted the, it's a commercial holiday for us, and they wanted their presents, so they believed in Santa Claus. They faced it till high school.
No, they said they believed in Santa Claus.
Of course. They faced it to high school, and so they could get their presents. And when they left for college and came home, they knew that they were just getting a present from mom. That was it. There's no Santa.
I'm so stunned. I mean, it's kind of encouraging your kids to lie to you.
It is.
It was just, look, they had, the ones that had younger siblings, because my kid is an only child, but my friend's kids also, you know, have other siblings. And when we told them, you know, if their youngest sibling is believing and they're older, and some of them were 4 years older, they felt like, well, they're getting these presents and we're not. So they felt cheated. So if it meant that they had to look at us and go, yes, I believe, well, great.
Okay.
How do you let a 10-year-old believe, but your 14-year-old doesn't? And your 10-year-old's getting presents from Santa, and your 14-year-old isn't, and your 10-year-old telling your 14-year-old, well, you weren't good. That's why Santa doesn't bring you presents.
This is just
so
too
hard. Yeah.
For the space between my ears.
Okay.
I'm sorry. But and then he grew up to be a good kid.
They're all good kids.
They're all
okay.
good kids.
All right. Jackie, thanks for the call.
Thanks.
Okay. 312-981-7200. Judy and I are going to go lie down and put a cold cloth
on
her.
Are you sure you said that?
Home. We're talking about, and good time maybe to slip the kids away, because we're talking about belief and how long genuine belief in a
entity.
Mythical figure. We're going to try and word this just in case kids are listening. And this is Mary. Mary, I think this happens to a lot of kids. What happened in your house?
Well, it didn't happen in my house. When my husband was little, his father was painting the kitchen floor, and he said, oh, if you're painting the floor, how's the Easter Bunny going to get in? And his sister said, oh, don't be silly. There is no Easter Bunny. And he said, oh, first they lied to me about Santa Claus, and now they lied to me about the Easter Bunny.
Not looking so good for the tooth fairy, huh?
Really?
There you go. And that I think winds up being the case. Thank you, Mary. In a lot of families, that an older sibling, rather than being sort of patronizing and supportive of the belief, the older sibling breaks the news. Judy did. Yeah.
It's, you know, a cruel thing that you can do very swiftly. And, you know, there's a little bit of repercussions from the parents, but they've already brought the presents anyway.
This is Dave. Hey, Dave.
Hey, ladies. How you doing?
Okay. We're trying to word these comments. So just in case there are children listening, we're not wrecking it. So refer to entities or fables or whatever. What happened in your life?
Well, when I was about maybe about nine or 10 years old, I remember our neighbor kid, name was John, across the street. So we were talking about Christmas and stuff, and and he was telling us about. He said, "Yeah, well, what are you getting for Christmas?" I forget how it actually went, but he says, "Yeah, well, but you know what? There is no Santa Claus. You didn't know that, did you?" And I'm like, "What?" I'm like, "No way! You're kidding!" And I go and tell my mom. I said, "Hey, Mom, Dad, Johnny told us there's no Santa Claus." And he goes, "And she says, well, I don't know about that." But then later on, she said, "Yeah, I think you're going to understand that there is no Santa Claus." And it was Mom and Dad. You know, we were playing Santa Claus. I said, "It's wow." I find it hard to believe anyway, because how could Santa Claus make like all the toys, like all the Star Wars and all the superhero toys? I mean, Santa didn't make all that. And I'm like, and she goes, "Well, but Santa found a way, you know." So it was kind of, but it's disappointing when you believe, and then all of a sudden someone tells you no. It's just,
well, and I, to me, it seems like if a child is old enough to begin questioning it, that's a really good opportunity to establish that you are straight with your kids and say, well, what made you think that? Why are you interested in that? And then the kid says it and said, well, and I think you can say, well, you're a very smart kid. That was really smart for you to figure that out. And that means that you're growing up or whatever. And it doesn't have, Judy and I were both aghast to hear the parents who say, if you don't believe, you don't receive. It's like, that was problematic for us. But, you know, everybody gets to do it the way they want to do it. So
one another's exactly. Annex.
Do you remember the name of the neighbor kid that shattered your dreams, Dave?
Sure he
his name was John.
John
was his name.
Oh.
And
you're not going to give his last name?
No, I don't think I'm going to give his last name, but
okay.
He don't live around here anymore. But it's nice, even where I live, when I still see a Santa Claus with little get-togethers, I still take a picture with the Santa just for the fun of it. It's just fun to think, oh, I still like Santa. I still like taking pictures with the Santa Claus.
Nothing wrong with Santa. It's a sweet concept. Dave, thank you for the call. This is Rhonda. Hi, Rhonda.
Hi there. I had a experience with my cousin, who I'll call Cheryl. And Cheryl was an only child, and she was doted on like by her parents, and she believed that there was a Santa Claus until her teens, probably like 13, I think.
Was this in the 50s?
50s, 60s.
Yeah.
And also, we were told, we were given instructions by our parents that we went to the house. We were not allowed to say anything to tip her.
What? Where'd you go? Rhonda?
Rudolph has come down and smite.
Hello?
Rhonda.
Hi, where'd you go, Rhonda?
Yeah. My phone is screwy.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, so that not only that, but we were told, my aunt, the mother of Cheryl, would, at a turkey, when she'd bring in the turkey, she would say, save the wings for Cheryl.
Well, what does that mean?
It means we couldn't have the wings. Only she could have the wings.
Do you still see Cheryl very often?
I haven't seen her in 40 years.
Okay. All right. But she believed until teens.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, Rhonda. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, and quickly, this is Brooke because she's been waiting a long time. Brooke?
Yes.
Hi. What's your situation at the Brooke House?
I have a 9-year-old that still believes that I just don't know how to break the news to her because, for example, we were at Barnes & Noble's and she purchased the Elf on the Shelf. She had heard about this Elf on the Shelf.
Right.
And she has him. And, of course, it's kind of like my pain in the butt that I have to do this stuff in the evenings. And he fell over and she touched him to put him back up. And she bawled because if you touch him, he loses his magic. She thought he was going to be done for, not be able to go back and tell Santa how good she's been.
Well, maybe, maybe at some point there will be an opportunity to introduce a conversation about what's real and what's pretend and what's fun.
Yeah.
Or I think a kid at when she says, and then Santa brought me, I think a kid in your 9-year-old's class is going to go, are you still doing the math?
Exactly.
Yeah. She had come home. Last year she came home and said how the kids on the bus told her that there is no Santa.
Okay, and what did you say?
I just asked her, what do you think? And she says, well, I think he's real. And I'm like, well, then he's real. That's great. And it never really come up again.
Okay. All right, Brooke, thanks, and Merry Christmas.
You too.
Okay, back after this.
In the wee small hours of the morning, while the whole wide world is fast asleep,
I've asked Bob Ferguson to play this song because, as you must know by now, since there are specials and Sirius is playing Frank Sinatra 24/7, I think today, some station, there have been a lot of tributes to this fact. And I was saying to my husband this morning, I was saying, have you ever thought of a singer who has been so honored as a dead guy, like this for his 100th birthday. I mean, it's quite remarkable, and it has caused me to think about my mother a lot, because I think many of us who are in our 60s and 70s now had moms who were besotted by Frank Sinatra as teenagers and as mothers. And my mom was paralyzed by her love for Frank Sinatra.
Did she ever go see him? Was she ever one of the screaming teenage girls?
Well,
that were...
No. Oh, yeah, she may have been in Cleveland. I don't know. But I know that when she was in her 40s and she and my dad would get into a fight, she would put on her jammies and robe and lock herself in the den with a glass of brandy and a stack of about 3 Frank Sinatra records. And I always wondered what she was thinking then, because I always wondered if she was thinking, I should have married him. Because, you know, he was so good at being a husband.
Oh, and a human being.
Right.
Such a lovely human being.
I actually heard yesterday a sign-off on one of these things, a great human being. And I thought that was an overreach.
Not so much.
But Tina's on and Frank Sinatra Jr.'s on and everything. And I wondered, I can't be the only person in the world who's thinking of her mom right now and what this man meant to them when they were young. I mean, it doesn't seem as if anybody could have had... Did your mother love Frank Sinatra?
Mm-mm.
You're kidding.
No, I never heard... Actually, it was interesting because in our house, I don't think we even had a record player. I don't recall
really
records in our house. So no, there wasn't a Frank Sinatra ethos in the Fruin household. No.
Oh, and it was really the background, you know, to my childhood memories. Because it was, I mean, she wasn't always mad drinking brandy and listening to him. I mean, he was on
all the time. Right.
And I would think that, say, he and Ella Fitzgerald, and I would think that Ella Fitzgerald probably would have been 100 around now, and there wasn't any, I don't have any brouhaha about her dying. And I just wondered what this is, am I the only person who's thinking of her mom or her aunt or her whatever?
Yeah, and my kids have said on a couple of occasions that the music that surrounded their childhood and their growing up was John Denver. So they have that connection. This is Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I just remember my mom saying that she and her sister would dance with the pole in the basement. They put a bow tie on it because he was always in the bow tie, and he was so thin. And they would dance with this pole with the music on and sort of, you know, hug and kiss this pole, you know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. They were, you know, it was just like
those early awakenings.
Yeah.
And so the couch pillow, the pole in the basement.
Now, did your mom play him a lot when you were growing up in your home?
I just remember her telling us this. I don't remember her doing it, but I do remember her telling us that's what they did because they liked him. So I think it was like during the era of the Beatles, because she would buy us all the latest Beatle cards and stuff. And so she totally kind of understood that kind of, you know, obsession.
How about you? Did you, having been inundated with that as you were growing up, did you also begin to like Frank Sinatra? Or
I enjoyed his music.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm not, you know, the Beatles are my thing. I mean, I'm...
Okay.
I never saw why they found him attractive.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
Oh, what a smile. Those blue eyes.
That wasn't my thing, you know, but okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right, Kathy, thanks.
Bye. And it's been so nice to hear you guys.
Bless you.
Thanks
a lot.
Yeah,
okay.
Bye.
Thank you.
312-981-7200. You can text us or you can call us. We're Kathy and Judy and back after this. What?
I was going to tell you my mom's story, but I can
do it after this.
Okay.
I've got you under my skin.
Frank Sinatra is still dead.
We're talking.
I've got you.
the ever sympathetic, compassionate Kathy O'Malley.
Non-fan.
Chiming in.
Right. Not a fan.
To destroy many women.
Yes. You know what? For somebody who loves Frank Sinatra, the fact that I don't makes no difference at all. So let's go to Lynn. Hi, Lynn.
How are you, ladies?
All right, thanks.
I'm going to give you a memory now. Many years ago, you must have dissed Frank on the air sometime.
I have, yes.
Just like you're doing now, and I'm a great fan. My mother was a Bobby Soxer. My father was a big bands person. I was just born listening to Frank. I still love him. I'm 62 years old, and I passed that on to my kids. But anyway, you must have dissed him on the air. My mom was a fan of yours, and from that moment on, she never listened to you again.
But was she out in Schaumburg or something?
Well, right. She was Roselle. So
I remember her.
With Steve. And so you guys were doing some show on, you know, have we ever, is there a way we can get some fan back? Has anybody ever made up with somebody? And I called up and I said, well, yeah, it's really you guys have to make up. And you called my mom and you know, said to her that, you know, that, well, whatever, Roselle, we're sorry that we dissed him. But and it was so fun, and she got such a kick out of that.
Did she continue to listen to us then?
She did. She went back to listening to you.
Okay.
Because you apologized to her.
While listening to Frank, she probably showed up.
She was furious.
She was furious.
Yes.
She was absolutely furious, and she had turned you off, and I just was laughing, and you guys were nice enough to call her, and Steve, and for months afterwards, anytime Frank Sinatra was mentioned, Steve would say, Roselle, are you listening? She died about 7 years ago, and we still laughed about
it. Did you play Frank at her funeral?
We did. We played it at the wake a little bit.
Perfect.
Even my children, who are in their late 20s, that's all they think of when they think of me and their grandmother is Frank Sinatra. So we're huge fans.
Great story. Lynn, thanks for reminding us.
And you're welcome. Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much.
Have a lovely commemorative birthday day.
I will. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay.
This is Lauren. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, how are you guys?
Okay.
Good. My aunt was actually a quadriplegic, and she was a huge Frank Sinatra fan.
Mm-hmm.
She went to go see him. He saw her there, and he brought roses over to her in her wheelchair.
Well, that was sweet.
It wasn't that nice, and that actually made the paper.
What did Irv Kupcinet get a hold of that?
Well, I don't remember what. It may have even been in California, because she was out that way for a while. And I don't know if you ladies remember or not, but a very long time ago.
That's always a challenge when somebody starts a sentence like that. Yes.
But see, I was on a hunt for a yellow Christmas cactus. And I called you guys, and you guys found somebody. One of your colleagues called in and said that they had one. That was for the same aunt. That was for the same one.
Very sweet.
Yeah, it was very cool.
All right.
There
thanks for the call.
I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay, Lauren.
Frank Sinatra never gave my mother roses, but she was driving. I think I've told this story before, but she was driving down to the mailbox, and the closest mailbox was at Sunset Drive
Boulevard
at the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Okay,
right on the corner where Beverly Drive hit it, and so she's got her Chevy convertible, and she's driving along, and somebody pulls up on the driver's side and goes, lady, your door is open. And she turns to thank him, and it's him.
Him Santa?
Him
Frank. Oh, him Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra.
Uh-huh.
And she keeps driving straight, misses the mailbox, finds herself way south on Santa Monica, Boulevard, and then just turns around and comes home and never puts
the
mail. She never puts the mail. He was driving.
I just can't fathom Frank Sinatra driving.
Why?
Seems like he was always driven. Like he was always in the back of a limousine or just that's not.
I know,
something.
But this was California, you know. Anyway,
she remembered it till the day she died.
Well, she wasn't talking to me around then.
This is Mary Lynn. Hey, Mary Lynn. Hello.
Mary Lynn?
Oh, no.
Hello. Hi.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. I pressed the wrong button. This is Mary Lynn.
Hi.
It's Marilyn.
That's what I meant to say. Marilyn.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, my mother was such a fan of Frank Sinatra. We, in my day, when I was a teenager, a so-called Bobby Soxer.
Yeah.
They had stage shows at the Chicago Theater.
Uh-huh.
And they'd show a movie, and then they'd have the stage show, and then they'd continue on. Well, my mother packed a lunch for us, and we sat through three movies and saw three stage shows with Frank Sinatra and stood outside at the stage door waiting for him to come out. Of course, he never did. But anyway, mm-hmm. She was a fan and I was a fan. And to this day, whenever I hear his voice, I think back to that time. And then I saw him later at the McCormick Place and as an adult, and I didn't feel any different. I was still in awe of this man. He was so wonderful.
I think one of his final concerts was at the Chicago Theater, I want to say in the 80s. And go ahead.
I think it was at the McCormick Place, at Erie Crown Theater.
Oh, that may be. Does Erie Crown Theater still exist?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I remember that. It was like a tunnel. Yeah, that's right. Erie Crown Theater, like Frank, is still dead. Right.
Right. But so your mother and you go and you see three of these shows. You're standing outside the stage door and he doesn't come out. But did your dad understand this or did he think this was insane?
He didn't think anything of it. He really didn't. My mother and I were so close at the time. You know, she would go along. She lived vicariously through me. And so he never made a comment about it. He didn't care. It was just our thing to do.
Because my dad was actually kind of delighted by my mother's devotion to Frank, even though she would, go in there when
they
had a fight.
Where she went after they fought, right.
Right.
Yeah.
My
children are avid fans of Sinatra, I think because of me. Because they know how I love him and listen to him intensely.
So you must be plotzing in the last couple weeks with all these tributes, all these specials.
And the one special they did last Sunday night I thought was wonderful, but it just showed that nobody could sing Sinatra like Sinatra.
I just wanted to tell you while I could remember. There's a Google YouTube and for a Frank Sinatra Elvis Presley duet. And somebody posted it on my Facebook page today. And well, Elvis was just, I was true to Ricky Nelson, but mm-hmm. Elvis was so beautiful. And
this was the young Elvis.
Young Elvis,
right.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that on TV.
Yeah. Marilyn, thank you for the call, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you. You too. Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn.
I'm reading a review, a Richard Christensen review from 1986, and Frank Sinatra appeared in September of 1986 at the Chicago Theater, and he's referred to as the 70-year-old pop singer. So when did he die? End of the 90s? Richard Christensen kindly refers to him having he had some trouble steering through the rhythms and pitches of a soft ballad, but his vocal instrument can still soar and sock with amazing reserves of energy. So, I mean, he was performing quite a while into
right.
his elderly years, our age.
Send lawyers, guns, and money.
Thank you, Bob Ferguson. Bob will say, what's the next topic? And I'll say lawyers. And bam, there he is with a song that works.
Why does that work?
Send lawyers, guns, and money.
Oh, okay.
It's got lawyers in there, yeah.
Okay.
So my question is, from time to time, I'll be driving along a road, and I'll see a huge billboard that says, don't pay that ticket. Contact our attorneys. And this is sort of two-pronged. I got a notification from the City of Chicago Department of Revenue the other day. I thought, oh, did I go through a red light?
Or are they just giving me money?
Right. And it said, recently you were observed on video exceeding the speed limit. And it was on West Jackson Boulevard. And I thought, I've never been on West Jackson Boulevard. Well, it turns out I had, because when I looked at the video, because it gives you a place where you can go to look at the video mm-hmm. for your particular violation number, I had gotten off the Eisenhower because it was backed up, and MapQuest said, if you go this way, you'll go slower. So I was going through a park, and it said, basically, you're cool. We're not giving you a ticket this time, but we do have you in the system, and if you do it again, then you're going to get a ticket. So in line with the don't pay that ticket, my question is, most tickets don't cost. What's the max for a traffic violation? $100?
$100 or $120, I think.
Where are you going to find a lawyer that will take care of a ticket for less than $80 an hour? Why would calling a lawyer on the big billboard, why would that be a smart idea rather than just saying, oh, crap, I'll pay the ticket? It just seems like a waste.
Well, you could get a public defender for free.
No, you can't.
Why?
For a traffic ticket?
I don't know.
You can't get a public. No, I don't think you can get a public defender for a traffic ticket. But I'm just always mystified by that. How much do those attorneys charge? You've got to think of the hassle of going to the attorney's office. Here's the ticket. So right away, you're in it for an hour of consultation, and then the attorney's going to say, well, we can go to court on this, and then that's going to cost. It seems to me that a don't pay that ticket lawyer is going to wind up costing you at least 10 times as much as just paying the damn ticket at the outset.
I would imagine, Kath, that it has to do with someone who is a chronic acquirer of tickets.
So maybe if this is the third ticket, that means you're going to lose your license. Then you'd want to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I just would be very fascinated to talk to somebody who has ever called the number on a billboard. There's another billboard that I see from time to time for truck drivers. I think it's the number is something like TDA 5, truck drivers, attorneys or something. If you're a truck driver and you get a ticket, and I just wonder how often that works, because it must cost them a lot of money to get a billboard. And so they must get some payback, or they must get enough people that are going to call to get an attorney to take care of their ticket. That's all. I'm just wondering about that. 312-981-7200. This is Rick. Hey, Rick.
Yeah, hi, Kathy and Judy, and love to have you back near. I still miss you Monday through Friday.
Thank you, Rick.
Real quickly, you're welcome. Real quickly, about a month ago, I'm on North Lincoln Avenue in Lincoln Square. My wife and I were going to a wonderful restaurant. I put in enough money until 9:45 because the parking meter sign says till 10. I go, you know what? This is the City of Chicago. I'm going to go back and put in 10 more minutes until 9:55. I'm thinking I'm okay. I'm not kidding you. We left the restaurant, came back. It's about 10:45. I see a ticket on my window, and it was issued at 9:58.
Uh-huh. But it wasn't 9:58 yet.
No, he was good till 9:55.
That's right. I had enough money there until 9:55. I had the little thing on there. Oh. I needed to have it until 10. I wrote a nice letter to the City of Chicago. Go, come on, this is a bit much. I thought grace is like maybe 10 minutes. They sent me back a lovely little letter from the Department of Revenue, just like you got, saying, mm-hmm. nope, you got to pay the ticket.
Okay, Rick, I've got to...
That's pushing it, isn't it?
Well, it's certainly no black and white, no gray. It's black and white. You were paid till then. This was after then. Have you ever heard about the Park Chicago app? It is.
No, I have not.
Park Chicago is tied into mm-hmm. all of the parking zones in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I use it all the time when I come in here to go to the movies or to a restaurant. It will let you put in your license mm-hmm. number. You put in the zone. You put in your license number. You say how much. Usually the max is 2 hours. But mm-hmm. it gives you a warning when it's about 10 minutes from being up. And you can extend the time from your app. You're in the restaurant. Mm. It says you're about to run over. Do you want to buy some more time? And you can buy
some. That little receipt that you have in your window is stamped. It's not going to change that.
No, but you don't have, Rick, you don't have it in your, you don't have to put a little receipt in your window. The person that's going around, somehow they can check your license and see if you're good on Park Chicago. It's a free app. It's the best parking app. For me, I never park on the street.
And I'm going to go spend it on the Christmas present. How about that?
Okay. Thank you, Rick. Why are you looking at me like that, Judy?
I'm looking at you because doesn't it tell you where there are parking places?
No, that's not. That's another one. That's a different app. And I tried one of those once, and it tells you where there's a parking place, and you get there, and somebody else is pulling into it.
Yeah, I always wondered how.
Right. No, this is an app for the Chicago zones and
you don't have to get up from dinner.
You don't have to get out of your car. You don't have to go walk down the block to the thing and walk back and put it in your windshield. It's Park Chicago. It's a wonderful, wonderful app. And the best part is you're sitting in the movies and you feel your phone buzz because obviously you have it turned off, but you look. And it says, yeah, you're about to run out on your parking time, so you never have to run over. This is Debbie, who would like to address paying lawyers' fees. Debbie,
are you a lawyer?
Hi. Are you? Oh, gosh, no.
Okay.
There are some people that have so many moving violations that if they get one more, they lose their license for several months or a year, or they will lose their insurance.
So that would be a reason why somebody wouldn't
want to
pay. Right.
These people have more money than sense. And that's why they would pay an attorney.
People have more money than sense. Yeah. And it seems to me that people who have more money than sense would have a reference to a lawyer from a friend or something rather than a lawyer they heard about on a billboard.
Well, this is true. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Okay.
So I don't know. But, I mean, that's a reason why they would maybe pay ridiculous fees to an attorney because they don't want to lose their license.
Right, exactly. All right. Thank you, Deb.
Okay. Uh-huh.
They better call Saul.
When does that come back?
He
got nominated for a Golden Globe.
Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah, Bob Odenkirk, which is a dubious distinction because a lot of people don't realize that there are fewer than 100 people in the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, that these nominations and winners are voted upon by less than 100 people. The reason it becomes such a big deal is because they throw a hell of a party. And
the Golden Globes people.
Right. They have both movies and TV. They overserve these people. They give them a huge meal. Everybody's overserved. Half the people who come up for their awards are drunk. So while some of the awards may mirror what the Oscars or the Directors Guild or whatever are nominating, it's a much less prestigious award because the number of people there, it's just the guy from Buenos Aires or the guy from Johannesburg who's covering Hollywood, but fewer than 100 of them. So just a little FYI.
I was surprised by my lack of knowledge of, why should I be surprised about that, but as to who some of the people were, what some of the movies were. In fact, the only one I can remember was Carol.
Oh, right. I haven't that hasn't opened here yet.
No, it hadn't. Yeah.
But one of them, though, Idris Elba was nominated for Beasts of No Nation, mm-hmm. which is fabulous and horrifying about child soldiers in Africa, but it's on Netflix now. It was on Netflix almost as soon as it was in the theaters for maybe a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really a good movie. Horrifying, but good. We'll be back after this.
So we're going to have our winter season is coming up.
Yes.
And
it'll happen eventually, even though I passed a magnolia tree the other day and the buds were swelling. So it's got to cool down quick because nature's a little bit confused right now. And everybody's got a green lawn.
I meant about our show.
I know. I meant about nature. Sorry. All right, back to you, Judy.
So the show is still operative, but one thing I have to say, I have a when I get to, well, thanks to WGN for letting me do the show from my kitchen in Arizona, but I miss Kathy and Bob and so much, and I can see them on a screen, but then I can't always hear them because I have to keep
something
down.
The
and they're
setup.
They're having the best time during sometimes during the spots, and I just feel
like we're talking
so
about
alone.
You.
Alone? No, no. But I just feel so alone without you.
I'm sorry.
I know. But
you want us to fly down to Arizona every weekend, and we can all do the show from your kitchen. It's hilarious because what I can Judy's got a Skype camera on her computer, and so I can see Judy, and she can see me. So we can do gestures to each other or whatever. But every now and then, I'll see Tom come in and fix himself some coffee or sliced bananas or something like that.
And Bob wants to know why I haven't bought a new pineapple that week.
Right. On her counter behind her, there's always a little something going on. So,
right.
Yeah. So anyway, that's our winter. I'm still here. We generally do it from upstairs, don't we, Bob? It's kind of complicated to do everything from down here in the showcase studio. So,
another gift that you're giving something up. You're
right. We love
upstairs.
To see. Yeah, we love to see people on the street during the show because we generally do our showcase studio from down here. Now, I just want to read this text because you can all text us and you can call us at the same number, 312-981-7200 from 847. Kathy's comments about the Golden Globes are in poor taste. What has she been nominated for lately? What was it? I don't understand what would have been in poor taste. It was just sort of factual that the Golden Globes are
100 people.
They are probably the most fun awards show of the year because they combine both television, which the Emmys do, and film, which the Oscars do. So they've got both entertainment media in one show. And they serve everybody at the Beverly Hilton. They've got this huge
Did you
meal.
Ever go?
I never went to the Golden Globes. I went to the Oscars.
I know.
Probably for 8 or 9 years, right? Once with you.
Right.
A couple times with Roy. And covered the Emmys as well up in Pasadena. And, you know, they're great fun. But Emmys are only TV and Oscars are only movies. And So I was just saying that the Golden Globes, while they get a lot of attention, I think the Golden Globes became a little bit of a joke the year that they nominated Pia Zadora as Most Talented Newcomer. And that would have been...
Man, she was an old newcomer,
in the
too.
80s or something like that. Did you ever hear the joke about... I don't think Pia Zadora ever appeared on Broadway in the Anne Frank story. But there's an old joke that says Pia Zadora was playing Anne Frank on Broadway. And when the Nazis came in, people in the audience yelled, "She's in the attic!" Okay, I think that's just a joke. Amy Guth is going
to
be here soon.
Come in now. Amy, come in.
Well, we have some business to take care of, right? We'll take care of some business, and then we'll talk to the beautiful Amy Guth.